Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, the day after the Academy Awards, the conversation normally is about who should have won the Best Picture Oscar, who deserved the Best Actor or Actress Award, or who looked the best on the red carpet. Well, not this time. Last night was one for the books. Will Smith taking to the stage, smacking Chris Rock after the comedian joked about Jada Pinkett Smith, Will's wife, shaved head.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right? that was a nice one, okay.
Jada Pinkett Smith suffers from the hair loss condition alopecia, but was Will Smith's act that of chivalry or of someone unable to control his anger, which in another setting, say on the street, could have cost him as it has other black men dearly? And what if Rock's joke aimed at the looks of women, especially in this case, a black woman? Those issues and more are part of our conversation tonight. We'd like you to be part of that conversation. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also joining us tonight is Dr. Ashley Elliott. She is a doctor of clinical psychology and a mental health educator and advocate. And Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views. Again, the phone lines are open. We'd like you to give us a call. Tell us what you thought about what went down last night with Will Smith, Chris Rock, and just the Oscars in general and the way things have been handled since. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Elliott and Ms. Colbert, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Dr. Elliott, I'm going to start with you, and I've set this up in one way, talking about Will Smith's act. And I want to put it in the context of, listen, here's a black man putting hands on another black man in front of millions of people worldwide. And as I said in the intro, you know, is this an anger management issue? And we know sort of acting on just your temper and not being able to control that can get you into trouble if you're out there in the streets or in a separate setting. It can get you hurt. Sometimes it can even get you killed. So put it in the context of what we saw last night. What did you see?
Ooh, well, I was taken aback by what I saw. But I think the important thing here, you said, you know, our actions can lead to really big consequences when it comes to our anger. But one of the things that I wanted to remind people of is underneath anger are other emotions. So is it hurt? Is it disrespect? Is it being minimized? Is it being confused? Is it being pained about something? And in the black community, especially in regard to our black men, we don't allow them the space to display a wide array of emotions. We give them the space for anger as it relates to protection, and we give them the space of happiness as it relates to pleasure, and mostly of that pleasure being of an intimate nature or something that we deem societally appropriate. So what happens when we don't teach our black boys and our black men that it's okay to emote other than those two spaces? We get behavior like this, you know, we get an inability to be able to express what we're really feeling or verbalize that because we have boxed in you guys' emotional intelligence. And it hurt me to see that Will Smith wasn't given that chance. Even with all the celebrity, he still didn't feel like he had the ability. He didn't have the space to express what he was feeling in a way that was more fleshed out.
And let me play devil's advocate, you know, after the fact, and I'll admit this. But here's a guy who's been an entertainer for over three decades, right, in many settings, movies, music, television. And many expected him to win. Now, I don't know if he expected, but usually when you win the Golden Globe, you're usually the front runner. And so he had to be prepared, at least for what he wanted to say. But in the situation with Chris Rock, I could have seen it better. Let's just say, as a black man and you want to defend your black queen, he could have gotten up there after he won that award and said, look, before I even go forward, Chris Rock, I'm going to deal with you backstage. But I want everybody to know that this is my black queen. And whether she has hair on her head or not a stick of hair on her head, she is beautiful. She is desirable. She is what every man would want. And so now let me get into my acceptance speech. Now, I can say that after the fact, but I would have thought that he was equipped to do something like that. Would that have been better, and I'm probably answering my own question, than what we saw? And would that have worked for you if he had done that?
I think the answer to that is yes. That's what we would have loved. That's a more controlled, that's a more emotionally and socially aware response to say, I gather myself now. This is what it is. And this is why I responded that way. But as we saw in his response, in his acceptance speech, I think there was such a complex mix of emotions that was going on, probably embarrassment because he had a reaction to, I allow somebody to get me out of my character in a space that I have millions of eyes on me. And as a black man, as a black woman, in those spaces, we know what that means. You know, we sit as representatives for our whole community, whether we mean to or not. So I think it was that, the piece that he was defending his wife, and the piece that, oh my gosh, this is my moment. How do I come back? How do I handle that? But that, again, points me to the idea that we are not allowing our black men, our black boys to have that space to flesh out those conversations and to express themselves emotionally. We infantilize it. We minimize it. We make it seem like it's juvenile, but really it's something that we all as humans should be allowed the space to do. And I think that's what we've seen. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't have that emotional intelligence and that expressive vocabulary, baby, it's going to bite you in the butt.
Reese Colbert, let's turn our attention to Jada Pinkett Smith, African-American woman. We've seen this week there's been a woman who's been on Capitol Hill for 3.5 days being grilled by U.S. senators, her intelligence in many ways being questioned, whether or not, you know, race baiting being thrown at her. And we're talking about Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson. What we saw last night with Will Smith defending Jada Pinkett Smith and Chris Rock's joke about Jada Pinkett Smith. Where does race fall in there in terms of a black woman really being objectified by a male, and in this case, a black male comedian? Does that have space for discussion?
Of course it does. It's always popular to punch down at black women. We saw it happen at the Golden Globes with Jan Campion's speech, and she punched down at Venus and Serena, two of the greatest athletes of all time, man or female.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt that she had to take that moment to cut them down. And that had nothing to do with her. She felt that she had to cut them down in that moment. With her being a white woman, there was a rightful backlash to that. The same with soon-to-be Justice Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. There was backlash to the way that she was abused and denigrated day after day. And in that week, we did see a lot of black women, myself included, speak about how we can't always applaud black women for turning the other cheek, for sitting there with grace and composure and taking abuse after abuse, because we are entitled to certain emotions. And so I find it very hypocritical now that when we're looking at this situation with Will Smith and with Chris Rock, how easy it is to dismiss Jada Pinkett Smith's humanity and her condition and her feelings in that moment, because a lot of people feel like, well, these are two black men acting up in front of company. And let's be honest, that's the part that a lot of black folks are zoning in on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are two black men. They're not representing us well in front of on national TV. Mm. They're embarrassing us, yada, yada, yada. And they're really missing the part about Jada Pinkett Smith being wounded in that moment. And then there's a sexual part of it, too, because, you know, people want to bring up entanglement, which is almost a 2-year-old story now. Who cares? what does that have to do with anything? But there is a part where Black women are only afforded protection if they check all these boxes. And as soon as they deviate from those boxes, whether it's in their relationships, whether it's in their communication style, hairstyle, et cetera, then that protection starts to diminish. And the latitude that people are given to protect Black women diminishes. So I'll quote Chris Rock. I ain't saying he should have did it, but I understand. And protect Black women needs to be beyond just a hashtag. And what's shocking to me is how apparently few people are out there getting slapped, because I would have thought more people were fine talking crazy to people's lives. So either everybody's on their best behavior, or a lot of people have a whole lot of grace for people coming at somebody sideways. So I understand optics. I understand the community. But you also have to understand that people have a breaking point. There's only mm-hmm. so much abuse people can take, regardless of how much money you make. And mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a situation to where somebody is in the ground suffering from mental abuse. We've had several high-profile Black women, a rapper by the name of Chica, talking about her suicidal thoughts just this week, just 2 days ago. And I'm not trying to be extreme here, but I don't want something to happen to any of these people, including Chris Rock, be clear. And then we start to have the empathy. Then we start to evaluate what went wrong in that situation. Mm. Let's treat people like humans. Mm. And let's afford people some respect while they're here. Mm. And let's understand that our words have... Sometimes people don't respond proportionally. Sometimes words don't meet words. Another thing that people should be clear on.
Okay, hold your thought, Reese. And I want to follow up on that. I want to give our phone number out again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to go to the phone lines now. We have some callers waiting with questions or comments. Let's go to Teresa calling from Reston, Virginia. Go right ahead, Teresa, with your question or comment.
Good evening. I am calling as a Black woman, and I do understand what the sister was just saying. But Vermonte, I like what you said. I wish that Will would have handled this much differently. I'm looking at the big picture. This was a big moment. We just came off of the KBJ hearings, which, I mean, she was phenomenal. Will Packer I think this was the first time mm-hmm. that the Oscars was either produced or directed, if you will, by a Black person. So here's my thing. It looks as if we can't control ourselves. I'm not saying we can't, but I agree with the sister, but at the same time, this is not a good look. Mm-hmm. This really is not a good look. All the way around, yeah. It just... And I just wish that, and if you have that much money as Will, and not just the money, the intellect, you have to think about wisdom. Use wisdom and say, you know what, I'm not going to go there. It would be selfish for me to react. Let me handle this in the way, like you said, Vermont, to address it, but in a much different manner.
All right. Thank you so much, Teresa. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before we bump over to the other side, sort of piggybacking a little bit, Reese, about what you had mentioned, comedian Tiffany Haddish, she was interviewed at the end of the Oscars and after the incident with Will Smith and Chris Rock. And she said what she saw Will Smith do, quote, was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. She defended Smith, and said, even though she thinks the rest of the world might not see it the way she saw it, but what she saw was a Black man standing up for his wife, and said that she thought it was great, and it made her believe there are still men out there who care about their women. And so the issue that we're talking about and more is that the manner that you should care about your women, especially your Black woman? So we're going to talk about that and more about the sort of fallout from all of this and what it meant last night and in the setting, which is also important. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 93.6 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, Walter and Paul, stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I am Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment, and we are talking tonight about just about what everyone is talking about. Ukraine, it's still in the top of the news, but after last night in Hollywood, the Oscars, Will Smith wins the Best Oscar Award, his first, for his portrayal of Richard Williams in King Richard. But before he got that award, there was a tete-a-tete between he and Chris Rock. Chris Rock came out, introduced the Best Documentary Award, but sort of seemed apparently ad-libbed a joke where he talked about Jada Pinkett and her clean-shaven head, saying that basically, hey, I'll look for you in the next G.I. Jane Part 2 movie, which was a movie that starred Demi Moore, which Demi Moore was in the military and she has shaved her head. Jada Pinkett Smith suffers from alopecia, a condition, a hair loss condition. And so that sparked, at least that incident sparked Will Smith to step on stage and to smack Chris Rock. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the appropriateness of Will Smith's act, maybe why he did it. Is that the best way to resolve certain issues? What that moment meant for black women? Were black women appreciative of the chivalry of Will Smith? Or maybe he should have had a conversation with Chris Rock. So if you have a different opinion, we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight, Dr. Ashley Elliott, doctor of clinical psychology and a mental health educator and advocate, and Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views. Let's go to the phone lines. Walter is calling from Northeast D.C. Walter, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Good evening, everybody. Is that Reese Colbert?
I believe it's Colbert. Is that how it's pronounced?
Oh, yes. I remember you, Ms. Colbert, the rap of Reese when you were on Roland Martin Unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that now. Look,
okay.
I'm gonna throw something off. Remember in 2000 that Halle Berry won the Oscar for Monsters Ball?
Mm-hmm.
But it what she said during the Barbara Waters special, that she was abused by men, and I'm going to use men, and yes, she was married to Eric Benet. The following year, she got a kiss from Adrian Brody. Man, if that was me and Eric, if I was Eric Benet, number one, I would took Mr. Brody into the bathroom and give him five knuckle sandwiches.
Okay, so your point is, we're in the chivalry picture where you felt like Eric Benet should have done something to stop Brody kissing?
Look, I'll put it this way. Halle Berry got the Oscars, but Eric Benet got her money.
Okay. I got you. I think I see where you're going with that, Walter. Dr. Elliott, I want to come back to you. In this case, in terms of, listen, we see comedians do this all the time, right? Public figures, even if you're not a public figure, if you're in a club, you know, it's pretty much open sesame. And I think part of the conversation that's being had today, right, is what's appropriate and not appropriate coming from a comedian. And so you've got different sort of points of view that if a comedian goes on stage and you're in his or her presence, then it's open season. One, would you agree with that? And as a clinical psychologist, how would you advise, and I know you've kind of walked down that a little bit earlier, how would you advise those who are in the public eye to deal with that? Because I almost felt like Will Smith kind of had to be prepared, had to have been sort of steeled through a lot of those criticisms that's come his way, his wife's way, the way they raised their children, what kind of marriage they may have. So if Will Smith came to you or any public figure, how would you tell them to deal with situations like that where a comedian can say pretty much anything?
I would first say, even though I didn't particularly agree, I understood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What you did. I understood. Because you have to understand, like you said, Bravante, we're talking about a family who has been scrutinized for years before this. So I would, you know, when we're talking about reliving and being triggered, and as a Black family, having that type of microscope on you and being triggered, sometimes the right time, it's wrong, but it's right in situations. And I tell clients, and I would tell, if Will was my client, I would say, well, you are still human. And I think that's the piece that we forget. And comedy is subjective. I can think something is hilarious, and you can think it's absolutely repulsive, disgusting, and offensive. Does that mean every time that a comedian tells a terrible joke that we're going to swing and we're going to throw a table? Not necessarily. But when you have reached your breaking point, respectability politics goes out the window for some.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to a point where you're like, I can't take this, you know, we watched this man be mean for a solid year and a half with tears in his eyes and be made fun of for being soft,
mm-hmm.
and being told that he should have did, I couldn't be a man just letting my wife do X, Y, and Z. I couldn't be a man just letting my kid do X, Y, and Z as a Black man. And then you call him soft for a collective 2+ years since we've been in this panini press pandemic. And then you're surprised when he says, I can't take anymore, and this is my response. And I think this conversation would have been different if we were talking about something that happened outside of the white gaze within our community. I think this conversation would have been more like, dang, you couldn't have waited until after this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But because we saw white folk and white folk adults and subjective power in the room, it was, we can't play like that in front of them. I can't feel in front of them. We can't show them how we really feel and how we really react in some situations in front of them. And again, not saying that we feel it was right, but we have to understand. So I would be really talking to anyone that had an aggressive display of behavior about why. When's the last time you felt supported enough to be able to express how you're feeling without ridicule?
Reese Colbert, what do you think of what I read about Tiffany Haddish's response, saying it was beautiful? It was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen, a Black man standing up for his wife. So are there limits to how we as Black men should stand up for our Black women? And would you agree with what she said? You don't have to, but I'm just asking. When she said it was one of the most beautiful things, I don't know how you would frame it. But does that surprise you, that reaction?
I wouldn't characterize it in that way.
Okay.
You know, certainly not. I understand her perspective. You know, she has gone through some trauma in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Tiffany Haddish is, you know, there are three people that get dragged on Twitter consistently.
Mm-hmm.
One is Tiffany Haddish.
Right.
Another is Jada Pinkett Smith. And another is Lizzo, for different reasons. And so I can understand from her perspective wanting to be unapologetically protected. And sometimes protection is messy. Sometimes you get the hands a little dirty. And I'm not saying that I would advise a man to go and slap the taste out of somebody's mouth every time he wanted to, quote unquote, protect it. But protection looks different for different people. You know, sometimes it's private. Sometimes it's public. Sometimes it's more verbal. Sometimes, you know, it involves somebody getting slapped. You know, and so I just think that it's really strange the way people are pearl clutching, as popular as so much violence is in our society, whether we're talking about we have the largest military budget, whether we're talking about the NFL, whether we're talking about boxing and UFC, or the shows that we watch. And so we want to have this, we want to pick and choose what we consider to be the role models are, or the, you know, what's acceptable. Will is he's saying, I'm not going to continue to carry that burden at my expense and at the expense of my family and our dignity. And so, again, I wouldn't have suggested that he behave in that way, but I'm not going to knock him down. And I'm not going to side with people who want to characterize him. We have people come up with the most ridiculous parodies. Some, you know, Howard Stern said he's like Trump. A person on Twitter, a doctor actually, said, well, what if it were Betty White and he slapped her and she fell and she had a brain bleed and she had, I mean, this is extreme that people are going through. He did what he did. He's a human being, and that's that.
Yeah, the Trump comparison, I think, is a bit extreme. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Paul has been waiting patiently, calling from D.C. Go right ahead, Paul, with your question or comment.
My issue is this. Personally, I don't think Chris Rock has anything to do with what Will Smith did. I think that this man has had issues and been frustrated for a long time. I think his wife shares some blame, and I know there are people that are not going to agree with me, but I think the constant emasculating of him over the last couple of years, and Will Smith needs to take blame, needs to share some blame for that. I mean, he needs to decide if he can work it out with his wife or not. I mean, putting your business out there on a red table and telling everybody about your affairs and all that kind of stuff, it makes you an easy target for anybody. I mean, they are great material for any comedian.
Secondly, very quickly, Paul.
What Chris Rock said was light and tainted. I wasn't an issue. He didn't say anything that was vicious. That man was ready to snap, and he just happened to be the one to do it. But Will Smith should have been charged for assault. That was assault. There's no excuse for that. If you're that frustrated, get some help. But you don't have a right. Nobody has a right to lay hands on another person because of what they said. Right. And what was he defending? A joke? Come on now.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Dr. Elliott, I kind of want to sort of follow up on what Paul was saying, and I know Reese has sort of mentioned this too, you know, the entanglement. And for folks out there who kind of don't know what that's all about, you know, Jada Pinkett Smith, I guess it's not even alleged anymore, you know, had an affair with a rapper. I think it was a little younger than her. And so that came out, and so they talked about that on the Red Table Talk show. And to Paul's point, is there some issue where you feel like Will Smith was feeling like his masculinity? This was an uber, masculinity kind of moment where there was so much built up that he felt like, you know, I've been torn down so much. And obviously we can't get into his head. But I think when you saw that, I know when I saw that, after the fact, I didn't see it live. I missed that one little segment. What we've all been talking about sort of went in my head. I said, this has got to be a buildup of things. It's got to be one of those issues where he felt like, listen, everybody thinks I'm the soft rapper. I'm the easygoing guy. They've taken shots at me. I've let my wife have this affair, and we're still together, and there's these allegations that we have an open marriage. And so, you know, people must think that I'm a chump. Let me show them who I am and what I am, and even though it was a black man on a black man, that he felt like he had to show sort of this uber masculinity. Am I reading too much into that? Can there be something to that, Dr. Elliott?
I'm a lean on the fence and say yes and no.
Okay.
So one piece of that, you know, people keep bringing up this issue of entanglement, and I got to remind people, black folk, there is more than one way to have a marriage. Black people are not a monolith, so what goes on in their relationship is really not our business. We just happen to be privy to it because somebody got their heart broken and spoke up years after the fact. And I think, you know, there is something to be said about that issue of, oh, he's soft, or, oh, I could never, it couldn't be me. That's the thing in our community. It couldn't be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that has something to play, but I want to go back to the point of, why can't it just be a man offended by his wife's pain?
Mm-hmm.
And Why can't we allow him to be offended by his wife's pain? While we've been actually live here, he's released a statement which he apologized to Chris Rock, and he said that my emotional reaction was triggered by understanding his wife's condition and what that means to both of them. We see a black man reacting, and it has to be something else or something clinical or something. Why can't it be raw emotion related to pain of the person that I am connected to? And let's be really clear, folks. Will and Jada are good on their own, so if they want to be together, I'm sure they could be separate and be just fine. But there's something there. The love that he has for this woman said, the pain that you are feeling enrages me. And I have to do something to protect you, because as the other caller pointed out, there have been so many situations where black women have been left when a public display of humiliation or assault or any type of threat to us has occurred. And we've been told, oh, let's talk about it after the fact. Well, I'm going to react now because I don't want you to think that when we get home, I felt like it wasn't that big of a deal, because this condition that you have and these emotions that you have mean so much to me that I'm going to react in the moment. I think that the part about that aggressive hypermasculinity comes in about how he chose to react. Because he got on that stage and said, let me tell you something right now. I know it's all jokey jokes. I'm going to get y'all back to the show, but don't play with me and my wife.
Right.
And sat right down, right? And we would have accepted that.
And I think, he would have been saluted for it. We probably would have had a different conversation. But it's that physical act that, you know, obviously kind of takes it to another level, right? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And before we go to the caller, Kay, who's been waiting patiently, I do want to say, too, that it's important to note that when we're talking about hair and black women, just that issue in itself is very sensitive, very powerful.
Yeah.
And we could have a whole show just on that issue, right, where Chris Rock zeroed in. And I think Chris Rock did a film or a documentary talking about black hair. And again, you know, that's for another show. But let me go to the call. And if either one of our guests want to comment on that after the call, feel free to do so. Let's go to Kay calling from the district. Go right ahead, Kay, with your question or comment.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. First of all, I had wanted to comment on Jada. I was saying that I know it's nobody kind of sort of comment to me. I think she looked it stunning, gorgeous, beautiful, even more so with her crown the way it is now than before. And as far as her husband, like I said, well, when I heard what happened about her condition, that was the first time I heard of it when all this happened. We don't know how long they have been going through this, even though I've seen it say she's been having this problem for years. But we don't know the underlying condition or effect that it's having for her, which he's going through it with her at the same time. And like somebody else said, you know, he's probably feeling her pain and so forth. And it's so deep and personal what he's going through that, you know, he just tired of people making comments and so forth because they don't know the real, real story. You know, they're just trying to make a joke out of her situation about the hair and so forth.
Right.
They don't really know what the underlying conditions or effects that is actually affecting, you know, Jada herself.
Right. Without a doubt. Thank you so much, Kay. And I think that's sort of, you know, a center of this conversation, too. You really don't know everything that's going on in any relationship. Let's go back to the phone lines. Thank you, Kay, for your call. Let's go to Janet calling from the district. Go right ahead, Janet, with your question or comment.
Yes, good evening.
Or Janice. Thank you.
Kudos to Chris Rock for maintaining his composure after being smacked in the face by another man on TV. That was absolutely ridiculous. He could have handled that in a different manner. The joke wasn't as bad, but you got to remember, Chris Rock is a comedian. The joke wasn't that bad. Will Smith should have waited and got him backstage. You smack this man in front of millions of people. They're watching. You have a black man that has produced this Oscar show, but you have another black man smacking another black man. Black lives supposed to matter, right? I mean, come on. It makes no sense. Jada is not an unattractive woman. She's a very attractive. I love the haircut on her, but come on. I wasn't impressed. Because if it was my man that did something like that, I was like, hey, you're a little crazy because you might have just canceled a whole lot of checks because Hollywood is not going to take this too lightly.
All right. Thank you so much, Janice. Janice sort of mentioned a point that I think is interesting. Should Jada have grabbed Will? Because I've heard that some women have said, look, you know, if that was my man, I probably knew what might happen. And I would have got up and grabbed him and said, OK, baby, just hang on. Come on, sit down. Calm down. Was there a place for that?
It's possible that she may have done that. I think people just are so quick to kind of make Jada the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Will is a person who's autonomous and he has agency and he acted in the way that he did on his own accord. But we do know, in fairness, right?
That all of us couples, you know, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, sometimes we have to tap us on the knee and like, oh, okay, you know, you need that other person to sometimes sort of, you know, bring you down a notch. When you're on 10, you may say, okay, I need you to come on down on 6. So I don't think that's out of bounds, right?
But I do want to say, I don't know if anybody knew what was going on there. I mean, mm-hmm. Chris didn't break himself. He certainly didn't think he was getting ready to be slapped.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think
he would have. Yeah, because he would have stepped off the stage. I don't know who would have took that. Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't run up there and tackle him. I think maybe Will didn't even know until he got there, you know. But can I, if I just can, for 2 seconds.
Sure.
Just point out how what I said earlier and the other caller's point about how there's a lot of this is about policing black women's sexuality, about policing their behavior. You know, Will Smith wrote a New York Times best-selling memoir that was over 400 pages
mm-hmm.
that detailed a lot of these same things, but people go back to how dare them put it out there on Red Table Talk, which is Jada's platform. So there doesn't seem to be the backlash to him using his own platform to express his emotions. And so I think there's a lot of hypocrisy in the way that Jada is somehow the villain in all this, and there's absolutely no consideration to Dr. Elliott's point about her pain as if that is in and of itself not a justifiable thing. And I think that goes beyond Will, Jada, and Chris. I think that's something that's wrong in our community about how black women's pain is never really enough to really trigger any sort of protection, no matter how it shows up,
right,
beyond maybe a hashtag.
So I think, Reese, you may have mentioned this, that Will Smith has apologized to Chris Rock. So he's made that statement today, just within the hour. But I'm not sure, I haven't heard that much of folks making Jada the villain. Now, that doesn't mean it's not, you know, out there. I haven't seen that. I would be surprised that they would sort of pull her into that. And Dr. Elliott, to Reese's point, if that is what's happening or starts to happen or begins to judge her, you know, maybe what she should have done stopped him from going up there. Maybe shouldn't have, you know, had that look that maybe sparked him to want to get up and go smack Chris Rock, you know, in the face. Is that something that we see that gets normalized, that happens often, where a black woman is expected to do more than what she should?
Absolutely. Every day. There's this idea that black women are just their labor, whether you say it or not. And there's a space where we must understand that I don't have to, as a black woman and black women in general, we don't have to constantly act. We are supporters, we are nurturers, we are disciplinarians, we are nurses, and then we are who we are, respective to our own visions and our own lives. But this idea that we have to be everything to everybody and ignore the things that are affecting us individually, ignore the things that are affecting us emotionally. We have to act. Jada should have went up there and did this. Jada was just as shocked as the rest.
Right.
Jada's sitting there trying to regulate her emotion because the joke was aimed at Jada. And a lot of people, even if we're not villainizing Jada, we being the general public, not me, not us, but if we're not, we are minimizing her. And that's what happens with the black woman's experience. Her pain is being minimized. I've seen comments like, oh, she could have worn a wig. Oh, she's been wearing her hair short for years. Oh, it's just a joke. Oh, you're a celebrity. I am still a person. I am still a human being. Black women are the least protected people on earth. But we are expected to show up in so many forms on a regular basis. And I think this conversation centers around the labor of black women, and also the fact that we don't know what it looks like to be protected consistently. So this conversation is so polarizing about this slap is because some of us are like, about time somebody protect us. And some people are like, no, that's not how to protect us. But what would you want to what would you have liked him to do? And there are all these comparisons to things that are socially appropriate and fueled in respectability politics and European patriarchal ideas, and not just saying, wow, what does it mean to just have a black woman have something happen and us all be empathetic to what she's going on without telling her why she could have stopped something from happening, or telling her why she doesn't have the right, or people connected to her saying why she doesn't have the right to feel that way.
Right. I want to read the post by Will Smith and his apology to Chris Rock. It was posted on Instagram this afternoon. He called his behavior, quote, unacceptable and inexcusable. He says, goes on to say, jokes at my expense are part of the job, but a joke about Jada's medical condition was too much for me to bear, and I reacted emotionally. He wrote this. I would like to publicly apologize to you, Chris. I was out of line, and I was wrong. I am embarrassed, and my actions were not indicative of the man I want to be. There is no place for violence in a world of love and kindness. Again, that from Will Smith, posted on Instagram this afternoon, apologizing to Chris Rock, and again calling his actions unacceptable and inexcusable. We are talking about the actions of Will Smith last night in regards to Chris Rock making comments about his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and her hair loss condition, alopecia. And again, if you haven't seen it, if you've been in a tunnel in a bunker somewhere, prior to Will Smith winning the best Oscar, which we must remind folks, that did happen last night. He confronted Chris Rock on stage, smacked Chris Rock in the face, and told him to keep his wife's name out of his blank, blank mouth. So we have just a few moments left. Dr. Ashley and Reese Colbert, I want to give you sort of the floor here as we leave. Actually, let me try to squeeze in one quick call. I think we can get one other in real quick. Carla has been waiting patiently. Carla, go right ahead with your question or comment very quickly if you can.
My question was not really a question. It's more a comment, which is I think this reaction of Will, everybody's focusing on how, I mean, and they should be focused on how he is reacting emotionally, maybe to the extreme, maybe not. But there's another person that's impacted by his reaction, and that is Jada. So now Jada, who might have been dealing with this alopecia for years, and most people may have not known that she had it, now you're forcing everybody to focus in on it, because now everybody wants to understand why you did what you did. Sometimes your reaction is not limited to just you. Your action impacts your family. It impacts your wife. It impacts your kids. So now the question is, it's not just his emotions. Now you have to consider Jada's emotions.
Thank you so much, Carla. We're going to end it on that note. We thank you so much. Also like to thank our guest, Dr. Ashley Elliott, Doctor of Clinical Psychology, Mental Health Educator and advocate, Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views. Ladies, thank you so much for being with us. As I said, also, we could have another show just on the issue of hair, and Carla sort of bringing this up, how it impacts Jada Pinkett Smith, but maybe it also will generate more of a conversation on hair loss and alopecia and how it affects black women, what it means, right, for their identity and all that comes from that. So, Dr. Ashley Elliott, thank you so much for being with us. And Reese Colbert, thank you also for taking the time for being with us and helping us in this conversation tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM for this Monday, March 28th. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.